Good morning, and thank all of you for being here. It's a beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. I'm so thankful for the good health of the ones that are here, and we need to keep those that are not here that are sick, we need to keep those in our prayers. I'd like to begin this morning with a confession, and then ask you if you have ever done the same thing. There have been times when I've been sitting in a pew, listening to a gospel preacher deliver a sermon and have thought, boy, I sure hope so-and-so is listening to this. He or she really needs this. And I've sat there thinking, yep, that's right, you tell them. And frankly, sometimes I wasn't even that specific in my thinking. Instead, I thought of the they. They sure need to hear this. Have you ever done that? I'm sure that some of you have, because God saw fit to warn us about this very kind of reaction to His Word. If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now you remember the case of David after his adultery with Bathsheba, and his ordering the death of her husband, Uriah. Nathan the prophet came to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and told him the story of a rich man with many flocks and herds and the poor man who had nothing but one little ewe lamb. He loved that lamb and he treated it as one of his family. He held it to his bosom as it was to him like a daughter. One day a traveler came to visit the rich man, and he would not take of his own flock to prepare a meal for him, but he took the poor man's lamb, and he killed it and fed it to his guest. Well, David was filled with righteous indignation, and he said in verse 5 and 6, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had not pity." Nathan's response to David brings home the lesson that we need to first examine ourselves. He said to David in verse 7, "Thou art the man." He said, "You're the man, David." Now turn Bibles back to the New Testament, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7. Now I think of the Lord's Word in the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 through 5 where Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." The emphasis here is clearly that the first person that I need to be concerned about when it comes to God's Word is myself. I need to make personal application of all of its principles before I do anything else. I think again of Paul's words in Romans 2 and verse 21 when he wrote, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself?" Again, application begins at home, brethren. Come with me now, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll be focusing upon verses 22 through 25 for the remainder of our lesson this morning. James chapter 1 and verse 22 states, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." If we looked at the first phrase of this verse, simply from a grammatical standpoint, it means, keep on demonstrating yourself to be the doers of the word. The idea is that it is not enough to just hear the word and receive it. A person has to be obedient to it. Did you ever stop to think that God never blessed anybody of any age or any dispensation of time for simply hearing the Word and even for simply believing it? Let me repeat that. God has never blessed anybody in any age or dispensation of time for simply believing the Word, and even for simply for hearing the Word, or for simply believing it. He never blessed anybody just for that. Think about it. God's blessings came when the individual's faith was exhibited in obedience and not before. It has never been enough to simply hear the Word, or for that matter, even to believe it. It must be expressed in actions of life. It must be personally applied in order to bless and to save. And take care to notice who the action is required of. It's required of me. I must do what the Word says personally. I must apply it first to myself. The doer of the Word is contrasted with the hearer only. There are several ways that this problem can manifest itself. It can manifest itself in the way that I mentioned in the beginning. A person can attend services, sit and listen to sermons being preached, and think about everybody else that it applies to. When a person does that, they are hearing the Word, but they're not translating it into their own lives. They can tell you how you can benefit from what has been preached, but not benefit themselves. Being a hearer only can also be manifested by folks who attend services regularly, and we have some here as there are in practically every congregation. Now, these are good people. They come all the time and sit and listen to the truth being preached, but who never, never profit by the word preached or translated into their own lives. There are those who evidently feel that hearing the word is sufficient and that there is no obligation to apply it. But that's just not so. Again, Jesus warned us about this many times. Look at Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Powerful lesson. Powerful phrase here. This is hard to misunderstand. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Again, this is our Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Listen now. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He that doeth the will of my Father. In that same chapter, he urged us to build our house upon a rock that would be able to withstand the floods and the winds of life. How did Jesus say that a person went about doing this? By hearing the sayings of him and doing them. That's the difference, and doing them. That is the idea of personal application that manifests itself in action. Jesus told us in James verse 22 that the person who hears the word only and does not make personal application is deluding or deceiving himself. The word that is translated as deceiving or deluding in this verse occurs only twice in the New Testament. The other time it appears is in Colossians 2:4, where it is translated as beguile. It means to be led astray by unsound arguments. The idea then is that the person who sits and hears the word and applies it to everybody else but himself, or the fellow who sits and hears and never obeys, is basing their life, when you get right down to it, on unsound arguments. My friend, to think that just hearing the word, even if it's from week to week, is sufficient and never apply it, is unsound thinking. It is deceiving or deluding ourselves. What good does it do to me to quote every verse in the New Testament if I don't practice them? What good does it do to me to hear every word that comes out of the preacher's mouth and apply it to others instead of myself? If I can feel good while refusing to apply God's word personally, if I can be comfortable when I'm not obeying God's word, then I have tragically, tragically deceived myself. Let's look now at verses 23 and 24 of James chapter 1. He wrote, "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." If I hear and do not do, or if you hear and do not do, We're like the man that James describes here. That which we hear but don't personally apply and let take roots in our hearts is soon forgotten. The man who hears and does not is like the man who sees the reflection of his own face in a mirror. Now, we're not talking about just a quick, idle, careless glance in the mirror, maybe to check your hair. No, the word is beholding, which means to regularly, attentively, to take careful note of. So it is really like the person in listening to the sermon, but applying it to everybody else. He has to be paying attention to make that application. But then the person turns away from the mirror, and when he turns away from the mirror, he promptly forgets what he saw. Or forgets what he looked like. Lessons from the Word of God that are just listened to and not personally applied are quickly forgotten and have no more influence on our lives than a look in the mirror. How many times did I listen to a teacher in school just to be able to take the test? Once the test was taken, I promptly forgot everything that I had heard. They made no difference in my life, for I did not take them to heart. Why should I retain things that I don't apply to myself? Repeatedly in the Word of God, we're exhorted to be careful not only about what we hear, but how we hear it. This is the very point of the wonderful parable of the sower. Now, we're not going to take the time to read the whole parable, but I would like for us to look at the Lord's explanation of it in Luke chapter 8, and we'll read verses 11 through 15. Luke 8, verses 11 through 15. Verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which, when they had heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So here we see the various kinds of soil represents the different kinds of hearers. If we skip down to verse 18, we find Jesus saying, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." I'd like to just go back to James chapter 3, if you would. James chapter 3. We need to understand, too, brethren, that those who present the word have a great responsibility, as I do this very morning. James even said in verse 1 of chapter 3, "My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." But at the same time, those who hear the word have a tremendous responsibility to personally apply it and translate it into life. I remember a man who came to church constantly and faithfully in services with his wife for years and years. He was a good man, and he had heard as many sermons as any Christian there, but he never made the personal application. He never became a child of God. He became very ill with heart trouble. I went to see him in the hospital, and I tried to get him to obey the gospel before it was too late, but he refused to listen. He died shortly thereafter with a heart attack, and it seemed such a tremendous, tremendous waste in energy. He had heard, and he had heard, and he heard, and he never applied. Well, he was making application then. He failed in his responsibility, and it was nobody else's fault, although I personally felt the frustration. He had not taken heed that how he heard. He had not taken heed how he heard. Let's go back to James chapter 1. I'd like for us to look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Here then is the application of what James has been writing about. A man looks into a mirror, he sees his reflection, then he goes on his way, forgetting what he saw. That is just somebody who hears the word of God, applies it to everybody else but himself, or fails to apply it at all, and soon he forgets what he has heard and is unaffected by the word. On the other hand, is the genuine listener. This is the one who is careful not only what he hears, but is careful how he hears. You know what is interesting and helps us to understand this a little better? Well, the word that is translated looketh in James 1:25 is the same word that was used to describe the actions of John and Mary when they peered into the empty tomb of Christ on the morning of his resurrection. You remember that? They got down. They stooped to look and to gaze intently. I don't think James could have gotten any more vivid in detail. The genuine listener stoops down, so to speak, in order to get the closest possible look because he or she is really and truly interested in the word of truth. That word is called the perfect law of liberty. Oh, brethren, God's word for us today is called the law of faith in Romans 3:27. It is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in Romans 8:2. It is called the law of Christ in Galatians 6 and verse 2. And here it is called the perfect law of liberty. It is called perfect because it is complete. It is full and it is all sufficient to accomplish the purpose for which God designed it. It is called the law because it is a rule of action. It is meant to govern and change our lives. And it is referred to as liberty because when we obey it, we are set free from the bondage of sin and Satan, released from the spiritual death and made alive in Christ. Just think, what if we went to the doctor and he gave us a prescription and we didn't take it? Oh, maybe we immediately thought of someone else who could really use it. It is not enough just to have the prescription then, is it? Well, it's not enough just to look or to listen or even intently to the perfect law of liberty, then fail to make personal application. Not only must we make personal application when we hear it, we must continue therein. And brethren, that means that it must never be far from us. I'd like you to go with me to Psalms, the first chapter. Psalms, the first chapter. Psalms, chapter 1. You remember how the first psalm of the book of Psalms begins? Verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now listen now in verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He loved it. The idea is of continuing therein, as we see in James 1:25. So let us be certain that none of us prove to be hearers only. Before we try to make application of God's word to anybody else, let's apply it first to ourselves. Don't hear and hear and hear the word and never obey it. There are two kinds of people who have been contrasted by James this morning, and every single one of us here is one kind or the other. The one is the forgetful hearer, and the other is a hearer who puts into practice what he or she has learned. Only the doer will be blessed, brethren. Let me repeat that. Only the doer will be blessed. I can't stress it enough. Only the doer will be blessed. What's the point? Obedience. 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 So I ask you, what kind are you? If you know these things, happy are you if you do them, Jesus said in John 3:17. So what are you going to do? So I ask again, are you a hearer only and not a doer? Are you one who just sits in your seat and say they need the sermon? If so, come, let us pray for you and pray with you, and then you'll become a faithful working member of the servant of the Lord again. My friends, understand now. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit have done all they intend to do. The rest is up to us. There will be no more revelation from God. He has given us His plan of salvation. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you obey it or not, it will never, never, never change. His plan of salvation is so simple to understand and obey. He says you must hear the gospel. You must believe the gospel. You must repent of your sins. Then you must confess Jesus as the Son of God. And then you must be immersed, baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Can we help anyone this morning? Remember, we all have that choice, heaven or hell. If we can help anyone anyway this morning, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.